Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On second and goal, they go on the play action again, this time for Ham, and he's in for the touchdown. When he's not blocking, he can also catch it. 5-yard touchdown grab for CJ Ham.
CJ Ham is the special guest at Monday Night Purple with Joe Anderson and Jeff Diamond tonight at B52 Burgers and Brew in Invergrove Heights. CJ Ham is their special guest. Very exciting day.
Very exciting, and another exciting Sunday to be a Vikes fan.
Absolutely, another win.
Kirk Cousins and company got it done in a big way.
And another exciting Sunday or Saturday to be a Gopher fan or a Penn State fan.
Yeah, and I'm paranoid.
Uh-oh.
We don't deserve to be sixth. I think what are the Gophers now?
17th.
17th.
And Penn State is sixth, and Paul was home. Oh, by the way, yeah, I'm Jordana. That's Paul.
Right.
David at the helm. Welcome back, everybody. David was in Utah. We'll hear about that at 3:20. You were in Pennsylvania. We'll hear about that right now.
The whiteout game, and we just barely hung on to beat Michigan.
I saw you guys in your whites. You looked very cute.
And we're 7-0, just like the Gophers. And we're going to be meeting the Gophers, I think it's, what, the 9th of November, right here. And that game could be clutch.
Well, I hope they trounce all over you. So just saying. I
mean, don't hold back. Hey, don't pull your punch at all.
You know, no one's ever accused me of not being the most honest person in the room. So there you go. Look, I hope we kick your butt.
I root for the Gophers every game, except when they play Penn State, which doesn't happen very often. But, hey, I'm happy for the Gophers. They're the real deal. Yeah. They're having a great season. And we'll see what happens in a few weeks.
42-30. And again, Joe Anderson and Jeff Diamond tonight at 6, Monday Night Purple, B52 Burgers and Brew in Invergrove Heights with CJ Ham as their special
guest. And by the way, there was a lot of gnashing of teeth a few weeks ago about Kirk Cousins. And he has consistently.
We're over it.
But people, you know, we should sack Kirk Cousins and he's not getting the job done. And
we got over that.
I just remember the Boo Birds. Listen to this. With 337 passing yards and a 141.4 passer rating, Kirk Cousins became the first quarterback in NFL history to have at least 300 passing yards and a passer rating of 130 or higher in three consecutive games. Congratulations to Kirk Cousins and the entire team.
So we're loving Kirk, not so much the weather. And it's been crazy, not just here. I mean, we'll talk more about those horrific tornadoes in Dallas, but pretty soggy.
Pretty soggy. We had a tropical storm over the weekend hit Florida. And, yeah, last night what may have been an EF2 tornado hit the northern suburbs of Dallas. For us, it's rain. Mm-hmm. We are well on our way. It's already the second wettest year on record. At the rate we're going, this will be the wettest year on record. Some question as to whether that will mean more snow. I think it will mean more snow and ice in the months to come. We can't shake this wet signal. The big story now is the wind. The winds may gust to 60 miles an hour. In fact, and I haven't seen this lately from the Weather Service, but southwestern Minnesota under a high wind warning till 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. And it does include, let me get the latest here, it does include Morris, Wilmer, Mankato, and Albert Lea and points southwest. For winds gusting up to 60. People should avoid being outside in forested areas and around trees and branches. If possible, remain in the lower levels of your home during the windstorm and avoid windows. Use caution if you must drive. Crazy winds.
Our other top trender of the day is this poll that we're reading about in the Star Tribune. It says President Trump trails several leading Democratic candidates as well as Senator Amy Klobuchar at this point in the presidential campaign in our state. That's according to a Star Tribune Minnesota poll. And I love me some Star Tribune, but that seems nuts. She's polling so low, yet I guess Minnesotans would vote for her over President Trump.
Yeah, 800 registered voters were questioned between October 14th and 16th. And again, these poll results, Biden over Trump, 50% to 38%. Elizabeth Warren over Trump, 51% to 40%. Bernie Sanders,
That's according to the poll.
This is according to the poll.
I think if he survives this impeachment mess, I think he'll definitely get elected. Definitely get reelected in 2020. I think for sure. I think based on the phone calls and I think based on Twitter and Facebook, I think there are his base is strong. I think other people like who are possible non-voters, maybe immigrants, might even if they are citizens, might not want to vote for fear for family members. I think he will get reelected.
His base is strong and potentially unshakable, but it's 35-40%.
He had a rally in Texas like the one he did here. 20,000 people packed the arena. There were 30,000 more outside that didn't get in. They don't line up like that for Beyonce, but they line up like that for their president.
People vote their pocketbooks. If we go into a recession next year, and I hope we don't, but if we do, that may change some votes. And if more facts emerge in this impeachment inquiry, we don't know, Jorah, what we don't know. But again, if you were to do the election today, Sanders over Trump, 49-40, and Amy Klobuchar, 55-38%.
That's what the Star Tribune poll says.
Yeah.
So David was in Utah for the week for his birthday. What did he learn on his travels? Find out next.
Paul and Jordana.
Paul and Jordana, welcome back. And our amazing producer, David Josephson. We lovingly refer to him as DJ.
Did you turn 36 on Monday?
No, I did not. I turned 33 on Monday.
Wow.
I didn't realize how much of an infant you were.
And I almost forgot how to do this job, so we'll see if I push the right buttons here and there. But
you were in Utah.
That's a good vacation when you forget everything.
Yes. Oh, it's great.
With your family, including, is she 18 months now, Winter?
Yes, she's about 18 months.
18 months. So what did you learn in Utah?
Well, let me tell you, this was, I do a number of different types of travel, and this one was a little extreme in that we went to one of the most remote places in the entire lower 48. I mean, places where if you walk the wrong direction, you might walk 100 miles before you cross another dirt road. I mean,
really?
Yes, it is that remote. It is amazing how, we're down these bumpy dirt roads, and at the end of that dirt road, it's nothing. It's just more desert for miles and miles.
It's a national park?
Yeah, we were in southern Utah. There's a number of national parks. We were at Capitol Reef. National Park, and then the surrounding areas. But, we were camping just out of our car at these sort of dispersed campsites, meaning there's no amenities. There's an outhouse that's a couple miles down the road. So you're sort of doing everything on your own. There's a little, a little fire ring made out of rocks, and that is the only thing there. So when you're camping like that, things like the weather and the temperature and the rain matter a lot. And what happened to us was the first night we got there, we thought it was going to be maybe 40 degrees. We don't know how cold it got, but our water froze. A 3-gallon thing of water froze almost all the way through overnight. So it was down possibly into the teens the first night, and it was demoralizing. The next morning to wake up and go, oh no, we were cold all night long and this might not work. And we don't really have a backup plan. Now, what we did was we added some layers the next night. We checked the forecast. It was going to warm up. We got some hot water bottles that we could heat up on a camp stove.
How are you checking the forecast if you don't have Wi-Fi?
Well, we had to go to the visitor center where they have it handwritten on a whiteboard.
Yes! Analog. I like that.
Got it.
Don't need no stinking app.
But you almost had to go to the visitor center every day just to get information and to get water and things like that. So what happened was it was very cold that first night, and we were kind of bumming. But what happened was it warmed up, and it was funny how the next day, we are still roughing it dramatically, but the next day we got a good night's sleep. We stayed warm thanks to some extra layers we put on and some, precautions we took. And I remember that next day after a warm night's sleep, my whole outlook on life was completely changed. Everything was positive. I had a hop in my step, and I stopped one time. Why am I so happy about life today? It was that I was so frustrated about a cold night's sleep and this trip kind of coming crashing to an end. Mm-hmm. And then you get a warm night's sleep, and yes, you're still roughing it. You're still in the middle of nowhere. But that little perspective change changed everything in life. Whereas, normally I'm here and I'm frustrated because my coffee's not warm enough or things like that. I mean, that's everyday life for us. But out there, it's, that little bit of perspective change, I think, means a lot.
How far away were you from civilization, any vestige of civilization?
Yeah, we were about a half an hour drive from a town that had a gas station and a diner and a whatever.
And you hiked? You did a fair amount of hiking?
Oh, yes. We did a lot of hiking, yeah. I think, you know, one of the other things I learned was about teamwork. And you talk about hiking. One of the hikes we did was down a slot canyon, which is, I mean, it's this narrow canyon that at one point they say the narrowest part is 10 inches. So you're literally winding your way, rock walls on both sides. And it's maybe a few feet wide. And then you get to a part where it narrows to less than a foot. And it's sort of winding through the landscape. And we were in there with four adults and my daughter, who's 18 months.
Was she on?
Well, we had a
like
carrier
backpack?
For her, but it was so narrow you couldn't get through with the carrier. So literally, I was holding my daughter above my head because it's the only way I could squeeze through. And then I would have to hand to one of my best friends who was with us, and I would hand her to him, and then I would walk about 3 feet. And then I would take her back. He would walk 3 feet, and then I could hand her forward. And
we
would
do
that.
Are you sure this was a vacation and not a punishment?
Oh, it was the best. And we would do that. And then I think about how, I mean, he was the best man at my wedding, and I trusted him fully in this situation. And you show teamwork because you have to, because that's how we're getting out of this canyon. And I think we know what teamwork is in our everyday life. The three of us are on a team. We do this every day. But it is so much more vivid when there's literally 20-foot rock walls, 3 inches that way and 3 inches that way, and we got to go forward. And I think that the lesson from that changes how I think about this team of three and other teams that I'm on in life, including family and whatever else. So that was kind of the second thing.
That's
So we did do a number of other hikes to waterfalls and things like that. But the slot canyons is, I got to say, I don't know if I would do it again like that. But it was challenging and a little stressful.
You got through it. There's a story to tell. And the bonding that comes, right? I mean, not just with your wife and your daughter, but with your friends. You've been through something. You came out the other end.
That's right.
You made it, and you'll always have that story, right?
Yes. Yes, certainly. Now, I got to say, I kind of hope my mom's not listening right now because she might worry a little bit more about that one. But okay, one more thing I learned, okay? When you are out camping in a situation like this, there's not water accessible. Like, we're literally a 20-minute drive to where there's water.
You take everything in and everything out.
So you realize very quickly that a lot of our attention is like, how much water do we have? What water are we using for what? There's a stream there. We can use that water to boil to wash our dishes or maybe to make breakfast if we think the stream is clean enough. But we have 3 gallons of water, and that has to last us 2 days until we go to the visitor center next. And as we spent a lot of time thinking about how much water we were using and bringing and washing with and all these things, I realized that we hear all the time that water and a water shortage is a thing in our world and even in the country here. There's places near where I was, like Lake Powell, where the water level is way down. And it's a big stressor for people on the Colorado River there. And I don't think about that a lot in my regular life, but I know that in general, water is a big deal in our world. And I thought about it a lot more on this trip when, for us, just a few gallons and conserving this water was a big deal. And that is how much of our world lives every day, where water is a luxury, and you might be a lot of people in the world are walking a long ways to get their water. And, you know, I was lucky. I had a van that we drive the 20 minutes to get more water, but it's a big deal. So it made me think about water in my own life and how that's there's a shortage of water in our world. And it made me want to learn more about that.
And here we can't stop the rain.
Yeah, seriously.
Landing this morning, I saw some flooding in the immediate Twin Cities Metro, a lot of streams out of their banks. And anyway, glad you had a great trip.
Glad
everybody's safe, and thanks for sharing those stories, DJ.
No problem. We'll do it again.
Good on you. Wow.
That was beautiful. So how long were you out of the house until your parents took over your childhood bedroom? Let's talk next.
Paul and Jordana.
Jordana and Paul, David at the helm. Well, thankfully, home safe from Utah.
Yeah.
They had some scary moments
Utah
there.
Utah adventure. Right. There are photos, right?
Yeah. There were photos.
You posted some on Twitter.
Yeah, posted on my Twitter, DJWCCO, and shared on our WCCO page as well.
Mm-hmm. So check out our CCO pages.
That's pretty hardcore, though. I mean, you're out there in a tent, and it's in the teens, and you took your 18-month-old daughter. My wife's idea of camping is a Best Western.
My mom did text me after that segment and said, I am listening. And I said, don't worry, we were safe.
It's okay.
Your granddaughter
made good decisions.
Is safe.
It's okay.
Your granddaughter is alive, and she's safe, so we got home safely.
Wow.
So here's a fascinating we read this morning in the Daily Mail. How long parents wait to take over their children's bedrooms after they move out? So DJ's 33. You're out of the house, what, 10 years now?
Just about 10 years.
And your mom is not living in the childhood house you grew up in, right?
That's correct.
But when you moved out, did she change your room like immediately into her walk-in shoe closet?
No, my parents moved while I was in college.
Okay. All right, got it.
But when I moved out, everything stayed exactly the same. My posters were still on the wall until my parents moved houses, and that changed everything.
So we want to know how this shakes out for you in your life. If you are an empty nester, did you change the kids' rooms, or are they exactly as they left them when they come back with their three children to sleep in that room? Or, you know, hey, did you, the minute they moved out, were you remeasuring, you know, for your new study or your workout room? 651-989-9226 is our number. Or maybe you got some kids that are off to college soon and you're already taking measurements to see how big that shoe closet can be. In the childhood house that I grew up in, my parents no longer live there. They moved to like a 50-plus community. But they lived there for many years. And it was at least 10 years, you know, after I had been married 10 years. In fact, my youngest daughter, who I really hope that she's not listening right now, was conceived in my childhood bedroom.
Oh.
Same wallpaper, same furniture. My parents did manage to replace my twin bed with a larger bed so my husband and I could stay there together. But that's same green carpet. I had little rose buds on the walls with wallpaper, little red wallpaper, white wallpaper with red rose buds, green carpet, and, you know, like the same full-length mirror, the same furniture.
I'm amazed that you could get busy in that environment. And I mean, I would be haunted.
I know. They were in the next room, and we had to hush-hush, but yeah.
Wow.
So that was my childhood bedroom, and my parents didn't really change it except to put in a larger bed until they moved out. You know, 15 years after, or 20 years after we're all out of the house, that's when they moved out. Now, your boys are out of the house, but you don't live in the house where they grew up, right?
But I remember my late mother, mm-hmm. When I moved out, she turned my room into a room and she displayed all her dolls.
Yeah.
And there were like 150 dolls in there.
Creepy.
And it not only freaked me out when I came back to visit, but her grandsons, I mean, my boys were freaked out by that.
Research shows after 2000, they tested 2000 adults. They found the average homeowner age 50 is sitting on the equivalent of it's a UK study, so 56,000 pounds. So how many dollars is that?
It's about.
Is that like $70,000?
Yeah, about 70,000.
Okay, worth of unused space in their house based on average property prices. Empty nesters turn the spaces into personal gyms, offices, or craft rooms after an average of 2 years. So they're saying you should repurpose the room to do something. Hey, heck, even rent it out and get some rental income.
But the idea is to keep it a shrine, right? Keep the trophies on the shelves.
Who's doing that?
Look, I mean, I was bummed when my boys moved out and went to college. I was bummed. By leaving the room the way they left it, does it increase the odds that the kids are going to come home or want to come home
mm-hmm.
and revisit their bedrooms?
I don't know.
You do it for the kids or do you do it for the parents? I think you do it more for the parents.
Well, these parents, I mean, they're keeping it there, but they're missing out on money. They're keeping it. They're keeping it the same for an average of 2 years and 7 months, they say. So it's almost 3 years when they realize, okay, the kids are out of college, the whole shebang. Maybe we should change it up now. And they say they're missing out on money, maybe rental money or something like that. But I think that is fascinating. When my kids are out of the house, I have no idea because I don't know. I mean, I have a few years yet for this to happen, and maybe I will feel differently. But man. I would love a bigger bathroom, another closet. I think I'll take over all their stuff.
Is there a statute of limitations?
I don't know.
Look,
I mean, they can come back and visit, but heck, it's my house. They're just renting space there now.
Yeah.
That's right. So I don't know. Interesting stuff, though. So 3 years average to take over the kids' bedrooms.
3 years.
3 years, my friends.
All right. You heard it here first. I thought of you on this, the worst drivers in America, Jordana.
I'm an excellent driver.
Do you want to guess which city has the worst drivers? I've noticed
LA.
On. Nope.
New York.
Nope.
Chicago.
I was blown away by this. I was totally blindsided by this.
Missoula?
No, it's not Missoula.
Okay,
is there traffic in Missoula?
Well, I guess you said you were surprised, so I'm something random.
All right. So A company called Quote Wizard analyzed millions of insurance quotes, added up the number of accidents, speeding tickets, DUIs, and citations, including running red lights, texting while driving, 75 of the biggest cities across the nation. Based on those metrics, the absolute worst driving city in America
is
Portland, Oregon.
Really? Was pot legal there? Is that why?
I think it is.
Are they all high, driving real slow?
Got a lot of hippies in
Portland.
They all
driving real slow, yeah.
But I thought hippies were good drivers. They drive really slow because they're many of them are stoned. Portland boasts the highest number of speeding tickets in the nation for some reason. That's counterintuitive.
Really?
Number two, Boise, Idaho. Boise.
That surprises me, too.
Followed by Virginia Beach and then Columbus, Ohio and Sacramento. Rounds out the top five. In fact, seven California cities, Jor, ranked in the top 25 worst cities, including San Francisco, San Diego, and L.A. South Carolina, for some reason, proved to be small but mighty when it comes to driving indiscretions. Greenville, Charleston, Columbia all made the list. By the way, many of the top 25 best driving cities are in the Midwest.
Of course they are, naturally.
And parts of the South. Detroit, Michigan, somehow takes home the trophy for the best driving city.
It's the Motor City.
Well, that's true.
They know how to do it right.
Followed by Louisville, Kentucky. Chicago? Really?
Really? Well, yeah, I just drive in Chicago.
And then Miami came in. How is that possible? How did Miami turn into the fourth best?
A lot of traffic there, too.
And they all drive slow, don't they? Or is that... Anyway, Twin Cities, 30th best driving city in America, according to Quote Wizard. This is not my stuff. This is a company called Quote Wizard, which apparently based this on science. But I think it's kind of bunk. Boise bad, Chicago good.
Right?
Have you driven in Chicago? You take your life in your hands.
I haven't. I've never had a car there, but I've been in a cab there.
Yeah.
And there's nothing fun about that, my friend. Nothing fun at all. Let's see. Can I squeeze in one more?
Yes, you can. You can do anything once. Try it.
You know what? It's about Mitt Romney. He has a secret Twitter account.
Oh, yeah. He has a... What's his name?
This is crazy. Pierre Delecto.
Delecto.
He has a... He admitted,
is that a comic book character?
I don't know. He admitted he had a secret Twitter account. And what he does is he monitors the... He monitors sort of the political landscape. Looks at other people's tweets. He says he even defends himself sometimes on Twitter as Pierre Delecto.
Delecto.
He admitted it in an article, I think with The Atlantic. He says there's some Republican lawmakers criticize President Trump over, he says, you know, people criticize people all the time. So Pierre Delecto sometimes defends Trump. And by the way, Pierre Delecto is the only person on Twitter, I think, other than the actual Mitt Romney, who follows all of Mitt Romney's kids, all of Mitt Romney's friends. It's like his like secret, you know, kids have a Finsta, fake Instagram account. By the way, parents, your kid has a fake Insta account. You should probably know.
Is
about
that
it.
To say the things that they want to say?
Yeah, that's just between them and their friends. It's called a Finsta account or a Finsta. Spam account. They have one. So Mitt Romney had one on Twitter to just check out what's going on there, to tweet whatever he wanted to without getting attacked as Mitt Romney. I think that's hilarious.
Does that make him a troll? Is he a troll?
I don't know.
Is that trolling?
Maybe. But good for him.
He called it a
lurker account. He's a lurker.
A lurker. Well, he's busted now.
He's busted now. Yeah. He added himself. 3:55, Jordana and Paul, David at the helm. Time to play Two Truths and a Lie. You ready?
No, but hit me. Go
Stephon
ahead.
Diggs is our Viking player of the day because he caught 7 passes for 142 yards yesterday, including a 66-yard catch late in the fourth quarter that helped secure a 42-30 win for the Vikings.
Okay.
Right? So that's all true.
Right.
Here are now 3 pieces of information. 2 are true. 1 is false.
Okay.
Number 1. In 2018, Diggs signed a $72 million contract extension with the Vikings and pledged half of his earnings to his alma mater, the University of Maryland Terrapins.
Okay.
Number 2. In the first 3 games of the season combined, Diggs only had 101 receiving 2 games. Number 3. In the last 2 games combined, Diggs had 309 receiving
the
yards.
The last 3 games or 2 games?
Two games.
The last 2 games.
2 games. Diggs had 309 receiving yards. So once again, let's review. $72 million contract extension, which he pledged half to his alma mater, University of Maryland. In the first three games, he only had 101 receiving yards. In the last two games, he tripled that with 309 receiving yards.
I think two and three are correct, and number one is incorrect. I mean, that's generous. If you give half of that to the Terrapins, really? I think I would have remembered that. Nice try.
You know, I had to try, right? Yeah. Come on.
But we do love our Stephon.
Clever yes. little fact. He did a good job for us. Absolutely. We'll be back. We're talking about sex next.
Paul and Jordana.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.